You guys can go ahead and grab a seat. I'm just going to share really quickly an introduction to the series that we're starting. We're starting a series on the gospel, and it's entitled Do Not Live Aimlessly. One of the things that God really started to quicken to my heart, my life, about 3 or 4 months ago is that there is a living that can happen through us that can impact people. One of the things that the scripture indicates is that these 12 men in the Bible, it says that they turned the world upside down. And if 12 people did that, we've got about 200 that gathered here today to worship between the three services. If 12 people could turn the world upside down, what in the world are we doing? What are we doing wrong? What are we missing that they had? And one of the things that I want to do is I want to make sure through the Word of God, we know Him accurately, and we know what He's done, and we know what the gospel means. Because, and I love the way that they put it this morning, everything that they said pointed towards Jesus. And unfortunately, over the last couple of decades, we have reduced Jesus to this poor, puny Savior that is just begging for you to accept Him. And unfortunately, many pastors have stood up on pulpit stages like this, and they've begged people to accept Him as if Jesus needs our acceptance. Let me just put it this way. Jesus doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. Right now, there are a multitude of creatures that are surrounding the throne, worshiping His name, praising Him. And if just one of them were to appear here today, we would be in awe of their size and their beauty and their power. He doesn't need our song. Like, I don't know what it is that is like created in our minds to make us think that He needs us. He doesn't need our prayer. He doesn't need our attendance at church. He doesn't need our Bible studies. He doesn't need us. We need Him. You see, we've gotten the message all wrong. We need Him. The very fact that your heart has rhythm right now is because the Creator of the universe, the sovereign God that the Bible says sustains all things, has said, sure, it can beat. The very fact that our lungs have the capacity to hold breath, it's because Jesus says, yes, it can still have life. He doesn't need us, we need Him. But I'm convinced that many multitudes of professing Christians have been sold a lie. And not only have been sold a lie, but they've bought a lie. I mean, we've even dumbed it down to the place where we call the gospel a plan for salvation. Romans chapter 1 is very clear. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He doesn't need us. We need Him. And there's this passage in Matthew 7. I want to read it with you very briefly. We're not going to be here long, but I want to share this. It's chapter 7. Let's start in verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them. This is so key, verse 16. You will recognize them by their fruit. He says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs or thistles or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. One of the reasons that there is a decline in Christianity and followers of the way in the nation that we're living in is because there's no fruit. Hear me. Right now, there are, in a Muslim nation, there are people that are coming to Christ in the grove, by the groves. And this is why, because two Muslim men got saved. They said yes to Jesus. And when they said yes to Jesus, they knew that they could not tell anybody. They knew that if they told their friends and their neighbors, that not only could it cost them their lives, but it could cost them their family's lives. And so you know what they decided to do? They decided to get together in privacy, in secret, and just start to pray. After a couple of months of praying, one of the guys said to the other guy, I know what to do. He said, what? He said, let's start a business. And I was like, okay, that seems kind of odd, but okay, let's do it. And then he said, no, let's not just start one business, let's start two businesses. The guy's, okay, what are we going to do? He says, it doesn't matter, let's just go to the marketplace and let's start to sell things and let's practice everything that we're learning about Jesus. Let's be nice. He says that you'll know them by their fruits. Hear me, if you don't like people, probably need to get saved. Because Galatians is very clear. That when you say yes to him, Colossians 1 says, first of all, that he comes and he lives inside of you. And when he lives inside of you, he begins to change you from the inside out. And when he begins to change you from the inside out, Galatians 5 becomes true in our life. And it's that we walk in, it says the fruit, love, joy, peace. You know, one of the reasons that we're not walking in joy is because we're comparing ourselves to other people. We're not keeping our eyes on God. One of the reasons that we're not filled with peace is because we have so much clutter that it's stealing our life from us. Love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. People say, I can't stop myself. It's a lie. You can. It might not be easy. I mean, I stand before you today, a former drug addict, a former alcoholic. I understand what it is to be bound up in those chains of oppression and temptation. And when I got saved, I wasn't just broken of those things immediately. It was a long process. But God came and lived inside of me and began to change me from the inside out. Patience is one of them. You've been fed a lie. Don't pray for patience because God will teach it to you. That's not true. Patience is a fruit. It's evidence of God living in you. And so these men, they start selling goods in the marketplace and they become known as the kindest, most compassionate, most generous business in all of this Muslim city. And they began to prosper, becoming the busiest, most effective business in the town. And so you know what happened? Muslim men started coming to him, saying, what's the secret? They want business advice, right? And the men said, you really want to know? Yes, tell us. It's Jesus. I said yes to Jesus, and he came and lived inside of me, and it's completely changed my life. And men and family after family are being saved in a place where it's illegal to say his name and it's illegal to have a building. What in the world is our excuse? It's that there's fruit that is necessary from our laid down lives. In this passage, it ought to, I wrote down a note that this passage where it says that on that day, many will come to me and I will say, I never knew you. I wrote down at first that this verse ought to cause pastors to lose sleep at night. But then I cross it out. You know why? Because it shouldn't cause pastors to lose sleep at night. It should cause every professing Christian that their eye have been opened to a need of a Savior to lose sleep at night. That we have loved ones that are dying and going to hell because their eyes haven't been opened to the need of a Savior. And the beautiful thing about this is that this is not an opportunity for you to go to work tomorrow and say, hey, you really need to come to church with me next Sunday because there's this guy and he's going to stand in front of you and he's going to teach you all about the gospel. Hear me, I'm not here to entertain. I'm not funny. I don't tell jokes. I'm not a clown. That's not my job. But together as a faith family, you and I can equip one another. And we can go out and just like those men did, turn the world upside down with the good news of Christ Jesus. And the way that it is evident in our life is not by someone praying a prayer. I was thinking about Nick. He said in one of the earlier services, when he met Nancy, they've been married 15 years. When he met Nancy, he asked her to, or not when he met her, but after talking to her for a while, he asked her to marry him. And he said, no, I can't. She said, I can't marry you. You're not a Christian. And you know his words were, what must I do to be saved? And it reminded me of the jailer, right? Not that being married is like being in jail, but he said, the jailer, he asked that question, what must I do to be saved? And their response, trust in Jesus. Believe in him. And so your salvation is not coming down this aisle or saying a sinner's prayer or standing with some man or signing a card. The greatest evidence of our salvation in the scripture is Saul, his eyes are closed. You remember what happens? It says that it fell as though scales coming off of his eyes. And you know what he saw on the other side? He saw Jesus. And so you want to know what salvation is? It's this. It's we are separated by Father because we are all objects of wrath born into sin because of not our sin, but because of sin. And because there is this separation between us and our Creator, He gave a price, His Son. I love you. I wouldn't give my kids for not one of you. But I thank God that I serve a God that loves us so much that He did. He gave His Son that anyone who would put their trust in Him, see a need for Him, would now have access to Father. And we don't do that so we can get heaven. I was thinking about the materialistic mindset that we have. We've even made heaven about golden streets and pearly gates. Come on, are you serious? No. Heaven is access to our Creator, to our Father, and it comes through Jesus. And Jesus is saying this parable in Matthew 7, and He's not speaking to unbelievers. He's not speaking to atheists or agnostics. He's speaking to devoutly religious people that were separated from Him, that were headed down a road that leads to life. And unfortunately, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, because here's the thing. If as I'm talking, you're thinking of other Christians that you think need to get saved, you've missed it. This passage in Matthew 7 does not give us a badge to declare who's saved and who's not saved. That's not your job. Romans 8 is very clear that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. I thank God that it's His job, not mine. And so that's not what this is. This passage and this series is for us to look at ourselves, because it is possible to be deceived. There are polls all the time that say 50% of Americans are saved. Like, do you really think that? I don't. But I don't think it's their fault. I think it's our fault. That we're not showing Him and His goodness accurately through the fruit in our lives. We don't need to get more people to say a sinner's prayer. We need more Christians to act like children of God. And when that happens, I promise you, when you sow seed, I promise you, it bears fruit. You don't even have to do anything to it. You just have to sow it. And when you do, lives will be changed. And so one of the goals that we have over the next several weeks and even several months is that we want to grow together, learning the gospel together and live intentionally in our community, in this nation and throughout the world, so that lives will be changed for all eternity. I was talking to Kendra last week. Over this year, we're going to have 8, maybe 9 people just from this faith family. They're going to share. They're going to preach. We're so blessed between me, Matt, Deshaun, Shane, Aaron, Pastor Cox, Eric, one young man that was down here, the single one, remember? He's going to be sharing a message with you this year. Kelly Taylor, I'm so excited, is going to be coming. And there's probably going to be more as the year goes on. I got a phone call this week. 2 different churches in our community don't have a pastor. 1 retired and 1 just walked away. I said, well, call me. I'll send you 8. We got people. We're good. And that's what we need to do. We need to be about sending and going and learning and being equipped to go and to make an impact on our community. Because here's the reality, and I'm going to close with this because it's time to go 10 minutes ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that Satan blinds the mind of unbelievers. What if one of the ways that he does that is by making unbelievers think that they're believers? Because I think that that's happening. I think it's happened. And the only way that we can be sure is to know Him accurately through this, through the Word of God. And so don't take my word for it, please. Be as Paul commended the Bereans. Go home and read it for yourself. Matthew 7. We'll be in that again next week, really building on it and elaborating on it. And then we're going to do this. Starting this Wednesday, on Wednesday nights, we're going to stick with the same theme, not running aimlessly. Wednesday mornings at 11 and Wednesday nights at 7. And we're going to talk about living the gospel intentionally. We're going to find out from each other, okay, who it is that you're pouring into, how are you doing it, and how can we pray for you? Because I can share with you ways that work for me, but I want to know ways that work with you. Like, how can we be more effective? How can we sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron? And then in our community groups that meet all throughout the community each week, we've got one in Umatilla, one in Tavares, one in Eustace, one in Mount Dora, and one in Cassia. They meet throughout the week. We're going to be talking about the gospel in those, building up our testimony. How can we learn to share it more effectively? And there's information about those out in the lobby that you can grab. And we're going to grow together at knowing the gospel, being effective at living it out. And the good news is that you're not going out into the community trying to get somebody to say a sinner's prayer. We're sending you out in a community to love on people and to be kind to people and to be generous to people. And if you don't know this yet, you'll find it out. It's more blessed to do that than it is to get all those things. And so we're actually going to be blessed by it, and lives are going to be changed because of it. And I'm so excited to get to do it alongside you. And then one last thing, first Wednesday of the month, starting in February, what we're going to do is we're going to gather together at 7 o'clock, and we're just going to pray, and we're going to worship. And we're going to do it collaboratively. I'm a communicator as a living, don't worry, as a faith family. And we're going to pray for freedom in this place. We're going to pray for pressing things that are going on. And that'll start the first Wednesday of February. So I'm so excited for this year. I'm so excited to be home and what God has in store for us. So let me pray for us, and we need to get out of here. Father God, you're good. Thank you. We love you. We thank you that you love us, and we thank you that you got an awesome plan for our lives. We just pray that we would step into that fullness, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I'll see you all next week. Love you guys.